Stand with me and let's raise our Bibles. Give God glory for His Word. Father, we thank You for Your Word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank You that all Scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in Your righteousness. Amen. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. What an awesome God we serve. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, we're going to start a new series today, and it's called Marks of a Healthy Church. For those of you who've been on this journey of faith with us for the last 2, 3, 4 years, and may not know this, but about 3, 4 years ago, we were on a Wednesday night in this church going through verse by verse the book of Acts. And as we were doing it, that's when the Holy Spirit really began to move and bring revelation. And what we were starting to see is, wait a minute, we looked at our church, looked at this body, and we look at the church in the book of Acts, and we're going, something just is not right. If I believe God is the same God who was and is and forever will be, if God doesn't change, if the Holy Spirit is still the same Holy Spirit, if the Son of God, Jesus, is still the Son of God doing what He did then what's wrong here? And as we looked, and as we prayed, what God showed us was the things that we needed to do differently, to do the best that we can, as imperfect as we may be as people, to look like the church that God envisioned in His heart. There is no perfect church. There is no perfect church. So those that church hop looking for different churches for the perfect church, they're going to be hopping for the rest of their life. There is no perfect church. And we can't promise a whole lot of things. But as a church, there's one thing we can promise, is that we will do the very best that we can to create an environment where in the Word of God and leaving room for the Holy Spirit to move, that you will encounter His presence to break free and touch you and minister to you and draw you closer as He would choose. That's all we can promise. Beyond that, that's between you and God. That's between you and God. Because there is no perfect church. So what we've started to do was line up ourselves as God revealed His vision for this church with what His heart was. So moving forward now 4 years later, kind of revisiting that a little bit, as the Lord been saying, okay, now you are moving in the power of My Spirit. You are flowing freely in My presence. Things, wonderful things are happening. But we can't forget some of the basics, some of the foundational tools that we need to be what God envisioned us. And I want to share with you 6 things out of the book of Acts, but today we're only going to get through 3. Today I'm talking about the body. In other words, the congregation, the church. The second part of this, or really the third part, is going to be the leadership and their role and what it's supposed to look like. But today we're going to talk about the body. Now, this is one of my pet peeves. We don't go to church. Nobody in this room should ever say, I'm going to church. Because that's not proper spiritual English. And let me explain that to you. You are the church. We are the church. The people are the church. We don't go to church. We go to the building where the people meet in true fellowship with the Holy Spirit. See, when the word fellowship, in Christian world, we throw fellowship around like it's nothing. It could mean let's get together and play bingo. We're having a fellowship. But biblical fellowship literally means coming together in the presence of God, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you are edifying each other. You're doing things together in His presence, in His power, for His purpose, but you're growing together in the process. There's community built into this. And these are the things that we're going to look at. So today, like I said, we're just going to look at the first three, and then next time we'll look at the second three. First thing I want to look at, if you turn to Acts chapter 2, we're going to begin with Acts chapter 2, because this is where the early church rose and came into life. Beginning verse 40 and 41, we're going to start. And with many other words, this is Peter now, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word, they were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So the first mark of a healthy church is you have repentant hearts. What does that mean? Remember, the word repentance means to change your mind. That's what it literally means. So when Peter gave his message on who Jesus was and is as the Son of God, the one who died on the cross for our sins, the one who opened heaven's gates for us that we can enter in, the one who changed our lives, the one who's released the Holy Spirit to come into us, when Peter gave this message, 3,000 people changed their mind about the way they were living their life. Yeah. They made a conscious choice. Now, the Holy Spirit was there, but the Holy Spirit does not force anything on you. It's still my choice. God gave me the free will to choose. And 3,000 souls, 3,000 people, and I love the fact that they use the word souls, not people, because your soul is your mind, the way you think, your will, what drives you, and your emotion, what you feel. So he said, 3,000 people's minds, will, and emotion lined up perfectly with the heart of God that they gave themselves to God and were baptized. That's what this means. It means they changed their thinking. They changed their attitude about what motivates them, what their priorities were, what drives them, and they changed what they felt. And what they felt was hope. What they felt was a renewal of their spirit. And what they felt was their purpose now. Their place, they found their place. See, I love our new sign. I don't know if any of you caught it. Welcome to our crazy family. And I like that. Because let me tell you, that's probably the same sign that they could have had in that first church. Because everyone thought they were nuts. But they weren't. What they were is they chose to fall in love with Jesus. That's who they were. That's what they were all about. They chose to fall in love. Those repented hearts, those hearts that changed their mind, those souls. They were humble. They humbled themselves to say, wow, this is true. They were teachable. See, they were humble to recognize that what they were truly lacking. See, earlier I challenged some of us, taste and see, because you haven't been tasting. You haven't been tasting at all. See, I had never had guacamole till I met my wife. Or avocados. Just the sheer look of that puke green freaked me out. But that's because I never tasted and saw. But when I did, I can't get enough of it. Now, okra is a whole different story. We won't even get into that. Tasted and saw, it's not good. But anyway, but humbled themselves to say, yeah, there is something better. I'm going to taste. I'm going to try something new. They were teachable to hear and be willing to put aside everything they thought they knew to what was the truth. That's the thing here. See, when God speaks, He speaks truth. He's not sarcastic with us. He doesn't have the Jersey attitude. He's not going to play with us. He's not going to mess around with us. When He speaks, well, His word is truth. So He's bringing a revelation of truth. They were open to God. They were open to what He wanted for them. So they were repenting. So right now, I feel like I want to do this real quick. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Some of you, I know where you're at with Jesus. Others, I'm not sure. But if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, this is where it begins. If you're ready to receive Him as your Savior today and open your heart up to the Holy Spirit to come in and to start learning how to walk with Him every day and make Him Lord of your life, I just want to pray over you. And nobody looking around, if that's you, would you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand if you've never accepted Christ. Okay. Well, I'm going to assume that everyone in this room has accepted Christ, but I'm going to say the prayer anyway. And you can repeat after me verbally or within your heart. Dear Jesus, I accept You as my Savior, and I choose to start walking with You the rest of the days of my life, teaching me how to make You Lord of everything in my life. And Holy Spirit, I open my heart and my mind and my body to You. I receive You. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If you did pray that for the first time today, please see me after church, after we're done. Just want to talk to you. And a quick plug, we're having our Ocean Grove baptisms in July, on July 27th, on a Saturday. We want to baptize you. Do exactly what the church did. 3,000 souls were saved. They were baptized. If we had a pool right here, I'd baptize you right now. But we're going to do it in August, July 27th. See, as a church, we're not here to change anybody against popular demand here or belief. I can't change anybody. No one can change you. I can talk you to death to the point where I exhaust you and make you say yes to something, but that's not changing your heart. All we can do is create space for the Holy Spirit to convict, to love, to touch, to teach. That's all we can do. Create that atmosphere where He has freedom to move in fullness. And that's what happened with Peter, and hearts repented. 3,000 souls entered the kingdom of heaven, and the first church ever was born. 3,000. Nobody went to seminary. Nobody did church planting and church growth 101. Nobody took business class on how to run a church. It happened by the grace and power of God. And they had to figure it out from that point on.
Yeah.
Second mark, they worship together. They worship together. Acts 2:42, the very next verse. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. That word steadfastly, you know what that means? It's word referring to something that's continual. But not just continual, but deliberately continual. To be steadfast in something, you are deliberately determined in this thing that you are steadfast in, that you are continuing in. Think of a little kid who's just pouting and is not moving. They're screaming, no, 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 no. That's being steadfast. They think they're the immovable object, and their way is going to happen or they ain't moving. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, so the teachings, the word of God. And how did that happen? They came together. We're, in the Bible, iron sharpens iron. We just read what the word of God is, the power that is in the word of God. And in fellowship and in the breaking of bread, they continually were together. They studied together. That's the first thing to this. They studied together. They came together to learn. Why? Because they had no clue. All they know is they fell in love with Jesus, and now they got to learn what it means to live with Jesus. Think about when you fell in love with your first girl or boyfriend. You fell in love with them, but then there's the whole relationship part. That's a little harder than just falling in love. And that's where you grow together. And the only way that relationship part works is when you're together. When you learn about each other. When you talk to each other, yes, you do have to communicate. That's a big part of it. The good, the bad, and the ugly, you have to communicate, but you do it in love. Just think about how the Apostle Paul had to rebuke Peter when Peter strayed a little bit. One of the pillars of the church, considered the first priest. He was rebuked by Paul in love. He was corrected, and it was received. It was received. And this is an important thing, because a lot of people, when they fellowship together in a body, you're their favorite pastor, you're their favorite person in the church, till you have to correct them. And then they leave. And the way they left that church is the way they're going to leave the next church. Everything's going to be great till you are correcting them. Not meanly, just saying, hey, just want to show you what the Word of God says. And we want to line our hearts and ourselves up with the Word of God. Second thing is they were in community. They fellowshipped with each other daily. How did that happen? They broke bread. When we hear breaking bread, it's a reference to coming together over food and in fellowship together in the presence of God. It wasn't just, let's just go out for coffee. It's, we're going to go out for coffee, but we're going to spend time, we're going to talk. I want to know how you're doing. I want to know what you're learning. What did God show you? Here's what God showed me. They were truly communing in the Holy Spirit. In order for that to happen, we have to spend time together. If all you're doing in church is just showing up Sunday mornings, we're missing the mark of what we're doing as a church. If that's all we're doing, we're missing the mark in a big way. Because you're not getting to know anybody really well here. Spend time with each other outside of here, one-on-one, couples with couples. but also in study together, in Bible study. Our prayer is that by September, we're going to have two more home groups going. That's our goal by the end of the summer, to have two more home groups going in order to create more room for people to come together and fellowship, true fellowship in the Word of God, and have community. And if you look in our bulletin, you know, we've done well to talk about our vision and our mission. Vision is to equip the saints. Our mission is study, worship, and family, which is community. Coming together and being truly a family. And the cool thing is, it doesn't matter how big of a family. You can have a family of thousands, and you still be part of that family because you have relationship. You don't have to have relationship with every single person, but you have relationship with many. You are in relationship. There's accountability there. There's encouragement. Those family relationships, they're the first ones other than your own biological family, and sometimes even before your biological family, you should call when you need prayer. When something happens, that's who you need to count on and know they're there for you to lift you up and to pray with you, which leads us to the next thing, which is praying. They prayed together. They communed with each other, with God. And praying together is not just talking over each other, but how we teach people to pray here. Again, we're not perfect, but we're doing the best we can. We're trying to teach that we speak, but we also listen. And the things that the Holy Spirit puts on our hearts are the things that we declare in faith, because it's God's heart through us. That's a big part of prayer. Because there's the petitioning prayer, oh Lord, you know, we're asking for this to take place and praying for this person. There's the intercessory prayer where, Lord, I know this person is hurting right now, so I'm interceding for them in your name for this to break through in their lives. But then there's the prayer that comes through revelation, through words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophetic, where you listen and then you speak truth. That's how they prayed. How do I know this? Even though it doesn't clearly stay word for word, this is how they prayed? Because that's the way the apostles acted. Read through the whole book of Acts, and you will see that very rarely anything happened without prayer, without listening to the Holy Spirit and moving accordingly. Even before the missionaries were sent, they prayed, "Is this what you want, God?" And they sent missionaries out. They pray together and individually. And the purpose of this is to remain in the presence of God. They didn't depart. When they walked out of their prayer meetings, they did not leave Jesus behind. When we walk out of church, we should not, or the service that we call church, we should not leave Jesus behind. If we are truly to be a healthy church, then this is the place you come. A church, this service, this time together becomes the place, as some have said already today. We get equipped, we practice what we are equipped, we get comfortable with our tools, and then use what God has given us out there. We're taking Him with us. Remember, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So think about it. Where your body goes, if your body's a temple, where's the Holy Spirit going to go? Is He going to leave His temple? The only way He leaves His temple is if we kick Him out of His temple. Think about that for a second. When Paul writes in Ephesians, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, that's talking about distress. That's talking about coming against the Spirit of God. How does that work? Well, I'm sitting here and I hear the Holy Spirit telling me to do something, or telling me not to do something, or move in a certain way. And when I make a choice not to do that, I cause distress within me. All of a sudden, this temple starts shaking a little bit. Why? Because I'm going against what the Holy Spirit is calling me to do, is putting on my heart to do. My temple is shaking. Its foundation has gotten a bit weaker because the thing that makes it what it is, that makes it from a body into a temple, is being shoved out or challenged or kicked out because I'm not being obedient. So we carry His presence. We carry His presence wherever we go. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's a mark of a healthy church. The Christians of the early church didn't hide who they were. Now, they hid from the people that were trying to slaughter them later on when there was the huge slaughter against Christians. But they didn't hide who they were. They knew exactly who they were, and they preached to everyone. How many times do you hear an apostle get thrown in jail for preaching the gospel, told not to do it, released that afternoon is preaching the gospel again? And they're going, "Didn't we just release you and tell you not to do it?" And they go, "Yeah, so? You ain't the boss of me." They had community. They grew together and they did this. And see, within this unit, within this worshiping together community that they had, that they studied and prayed in, they were allowed to grow. Do you think the disciples, those 120 where the Holy Spirit fell for the first time in history like that, and they began to do what they do and they began to heal, do you think they had training before that? Do you think they knew what they were doing? They were totally taught by God and they were taking risks. We're making it easy. We're leaving room, creating space for the Holy Spirit and in His Word to teach us, but we're giving you place to practice here so that you will be more confident out there. See, it's funny. God is so good. The Holy Spirit just answered my own question. Because I was reading this morning in Ephesians, and Paul writes, you were taught by Jesus in there. And the question came to me, why are you writing, Paul, they were taught by Jesus when you were the one who taught them? And the Holy Spirit just answered that question right now. Because as they received the Holy Spirit, just like the initial apostles, we were baptized in the Holy Spirit and started doing what they did, as they received the things Jesus gave, they began to move. And they did what Jesus taught them to do, gave them to do. How does a baby, like my daughter, you know, anything you give her, she's going to stick it in her mouth, no matter what it is. How do they know to do that? It's instinctual for them. In the Holy Spirit, it's supposed to be sort of instinctual, at least in the tugging. And then we take a step of faith, and it happens. See, part of our core values, and we believe this lines up with the book of Acts. That's why we chose these values. We want to be passionate as a church. And you're going to hear a lot more often even, talk about our values, because like I said, we've done well in sharing our vision and our mission, but not as good of a job in sharing our values. But we want to have passion for the things that God has for us, and some of us are doing a great job with that. We want to always stay teachable. Guess what? I can be taught by anyone in children's church. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's alive in them as well. Any child in children's church can teach me something that God can reveal to them. And I need to be at that position, not like, you're 10 years old, what are you trying to teach me? No. Stay humble. Childlike faith. Heart of a child is what enters us, what Jesus welcomes us in with. He loves that. Family. We talked about family. How fun is it? Fun is one of our values. How much fun is it when you get a new toy and you get to play with it and use it? How much fun is it when God gives us the amazing gifts he gives us and lets us use them? It's actually fun. And I get excited when I pray for somebody to be healed and they're healed. I get excited when God gives me a word for them and then I find out later on it came to fruition. It encouraged them. It's fun. It's fun to allow God the freedom to move. It's exciting times. And especially in our family environment, if it doesn't, it's not always 100%, well, that's why we have each other. That's why we practice. That's why we grow together. We just have to be open. Overcoming love is another one. That only happens in family atmosphere. You don't become an overcomer in his love, because the Bible says God is love. You don't become an overcomer with overcoming love outside of family, because you have no clue what that means. What you learn within a family community is grace. And you learn strength from each other. You get edified from each other. When we get together to pray and we're hurting and we don't know how to overcome something, we don't know how to get through past something, we pray for each other and we show each other the love of God. And the prophetic words that might come out, the words of knowledge, anything that might happen, his presence in our midst are evidence of that love that empowers us to press forward and overcome. That's the overcoming love. And most of all, our mindset changes. Because when we are struggling to overcome, we've already have a defeatist mindset in play. Our minds have already gone that road. And we've, as my wife talked about renewing your mind last week, and if you missed it, you need to listen to it on our webpage. It's an amazing message. The only way to change that defeated mindset is to be around each other and let the Word of God break through. Let His presence break through. Let His touch break through. Because when I'm feeling that way, I need my wife to kick me in the butt and say, get in your Word. This is what God says about you. This is how you become an overcomer. When we need that, we surround ourselves with those who can speak honest, loving, grace-filled truth to us. That's what a family does. I'm not talking about necessarily becoming argumentative. Now, I know some Italian families are louder, Middle Eastern families are louder, but see, our family will speak to you and is meant to love you the way you need to be loved, with His truth, but in His grace. And there's no such thing as straying too far without being pulled into that. And I gotta be quick here. But the other thing is character. Our character is important. Mark of a healthy church is strong, godly character. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Character begins with the foundation of the Word. Begins. And as we say a lot here, God doesn't change character. We have to submit our character before God. And that comes with a humble heart in the realm of community, in worshiping together. Because when we worship together, number one, we humble ourselves before God, but two, we're humbled before one another. Character is built in that. We learn how to be strong in our humility, not doormats, but strong in humility, to be steadfast in humility. And the last value is our commitment. See, our number one commitment, which goes back to the first mark, is a repentant heart, is to Jesus. I am committed to you, God. I am committed 100% to you. You are my all in all. And my mind, that's again, going back to why he said 3,000 souls. My mind is committed to you, that I'm lining it up with you to the best of my abilities, and I repent when it wavers. My will, the thing that drives me, I'm lining it up to you, and I repent when it wavers. It's committed to you. And my emotions, I'm lining them up with you. I'm committed to you, and I repent when they waver. And they're not strong in you. But I'm also, within my commitment to you, Lord, I know you gave me family. I'm committed to my family through you. My church is not perfect. And again, there's no such thing as a perfect church. But this is my perfect, imperfect church. And I'm here not because of anything else, but you have a place for me here. So many people leave a church because they don't like something. How many people stay to be the catalyst of change? How many people pray the change in instead of gossip or complain? How many people say, you know what? I don't like necessarily what might be happening, so I'm going to do it biblically. If it's with a person, I'm going to go to them one-on-one. That doesn't work. I'm going to take someone else with me. If that doesn't work, we'll go before the leadership of the church. That's Matthew 18. That's biblical. And then within that, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray the house down. My commitment to God and to my church is that I'm praying for my church. I am praying for my church. I'm going to call somebody out, and I want to say thank you to Cindy or Rose and to Madeline, Mark, and Bill. These two couples pray for us every single day and the church every single day. Now, maybe more of you do that too, but I know that. Without them, we can't do what we're doing. Their hearts are unbelievable. This is commitment. This is commitment to this body. Commitment to growing together, not just being together. This is what the early church did. You really think 3,000 souls, it was a perfect, harmonious relationship? Think about it. Especially when there was no organizational plan. We'll see how that worked out in a little bit as we continue the series. But they were committed to what God was doing, the vision God had for this, the greater people, the body, this whole thing, through the work of the apostles, through them as the initial leadership before they equipped and released others. And they stayed and made it work. And then we read another 5,000 souls got saved. Why? Because these 3,000 stay true to it. I'm going to stop here. I was going to do the first three, but I'm going to stop at the first two. Would you stand with me right now? In a few moments, I'm going to release you to get together in groups of three. Please no more than four. If you're not sure how much four is, count on your hand. One, two, three, four. No more than four. To just pray for each other on the things that God, the Holy Spirit revealed to put on your heart today. But right now, would you just get into your receiving position? Holy Spirit, we just thank you for what you're doing today, what you did already and are continuing to stir. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the hearts that you have convicted unto righteousness, that you have wooed us to fall in love with you, Jesus. And I just release more in Jesus' name of your love in this room. that we fall deeper and deeper and deeper in love with you every day, because we're no longer just tasting and seeing, but we are partaking of the full meal. And we're tasting new things every day. Just like fall in love deeper and deeper with my wife every day, and with every new food she cooks and experiments with, I taste and see that it is good. Thank you for the things that you do, Lord, for us, that we continually have the opportunity to grow and taste and see that you are so good. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that in you the revelation of heaven is revealed to us in worship, in study, in your word, in community, in our intercession with you, in our just coming together with you, in fellowship with you. May we commit today, Holy Spirit, for more. To be together in you more. To be more serious about what you are doing right now with us. That we're not playing games. And I'm speaking to the youth, young adults too. This is as much about you as much about anyone else. Coming together in Jesus' name to grow together, to love on each other, to strengthen each other, because those youth years are tough. Thank you, Father. Just release your love, Lord, right now. Release your presence in this room. Release your presence in this room. Continue to receive from the Holy Spirit another minute or so, and then I'm going to release you in your